The American West has always been fertile ground for writers. Now Philip Meyer steps into that territory with his new novel, The Sun. It's a family saga that traces the settling of Texas from its days as a wild frontier to the oil boom. And there's no shortage of violence in this version of the story. Even the victims have blood on their hands, as NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
Philip Meyer first drew attention a few years ago with his debut novel, American Rust. Set in a dying steel town in Pennsylvania, Meyer says he wanted to explore the decline of the middle class in the industrial Northeast. He set his sights on a different direction for The Sun.
With The Sun, I wanted to do something not quite the opposite, but certainly different. I wanted to think about our creation myth. You know, what is the fundamental story that defines America? And it certainly is the West.
To research the novel, Meyer read more than 250 books on the West. But that wasn't enough for him. To get a sense of what life might have been like for the Comanche, who play a central role in the book, he spent months in the desert and the plains, eating and sleeping outdoors.
I told myself to bow hunt. It took weeks or months of tracking classes on how to track animals and how to understand how Native Americans related to their environment. I went to a buffalo rancher who raises organic grass-fed buffalo for restaurants, and I helped him kill several buffalo. And after we shot these animals, basically, I took a coffee mug and filled it with the blood from the animal's neck and drank it, because that was another thing the Comanches did with some regularity.
The Sun is an epic tale told through several generations of the McCullough family, beginning with Eli McCullough, the first male child born in the Republic of Texas. At the age of 13, Eli is kidnapped by the Comanche, who kill his mother and his siblings. He lives with the Comanche for years, becoming a respected member of the tribe. But later in his life, he hunts them down as a Texas Ranger. He becomes a wealthy cattle rancher, and eventually his land brings more wealth to his family in the form of oil. Throughout it all, if something gets in his way, Eli removes it, with force if necessary.
Eli McCullough represents the sort of mythological heroes that founded America or founded the West. I mean, they're physically powerful. In this case, he's a small man, but he's physically powerful. They're physically brave. They take what they want. If you were to do some moral analysis of their character, you know, they wouldn't maybe, by today's moral standards, come out looking very good.
We hear one version of the McCullough family story through Eli's own words, but we get a different perspective from his son Peter, who sees his father with clear eyes. Peter's sympathies lie with the Mexican family whose massacre leads to more land for the McCulloughs, and that makes Peter a pariah in his own family. Finally, we hear what seem to be the dying thoughts of Jeannie, Eli's great-granddaughter, who oversees the family's oil business. Jeannie always saw Eli as a heroic figure and was determined to protect his legacy.
What should she tell her grandchildren? There were too many facts, and you could arrange them in any order you wanted. Eli McCullough had killed Indians. Eli McCullough had killed whites. He had killed, period. It depended on whether you saw things through his eyes or the eyes of his victim as he pulled the trigger. Dead people did not have voices, and this made them irrelevant.
But Meyer doesn't paint a black and white picture of the West. If Eli McCullough kills to get what he needs, so does everyone else.
There was an enormous amount of violence perpetuated by all sides. You know, the sort of guilt or horror is very evenly shared. And I think when you grew up watching John Wayne movies, which many of us did, you don't see that. You forget that. You sort of think of the Anglo folks, you know, the cowboys, as the sort of innocents in the middle of a great wilderness out of which ride these Native Americans, who we hadn't thought of as Indians, and attack, you know, the innocent settlers. And this, to me, was crucial to sort of attempt to upend that myth.
And yet, at the same time, you certainly are not presenting a sort of PC picture of life among the Comanches. This was really brutal, and the violence is depicted very graphically.
This is a warrior culture. You know, I mean, they were absolutely warriors. They did not show mercy to the people they vanquished. Torture was something they did, but just torture was something that Europeans engaged in ritualistically also.
Meyer says he doesn't expect that everyone will like his version of how the West was won.
I do wonder if there are parts of this book that are going to make people on both sides of the debate angry. the people who want to see, you know, the sort of historic Texans and the frontiers people as noble sort of innocents, and the people who want to see the Native Americans in that same very simplistic way. But to do this is to reduce these people to caricatures. So if it makes people uncomfortable, I guess I'm fine with it.
No one emerges an innocent in this story, not the Anglos, nor the Mexicans, nor the Native Americans. Each group in its own time fought viciously to get or keep the land. Eli McCullough emerged a winner, but the actions he took and the secrets his family kept will catch up with them in the end. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Greene.